Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. We have been talking for the last 6 weeks. Today is the seventh time week. We have been talking about the book of Revelation. It's a book that most Christians are not reading because they don't understand it. So you who are listening to me, you have the privilege of learning about the book of Revelation. I hope that when next time when you read it, you understand what you read. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our Bible text this morning is from Daniel chapter 2, 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And it says, "But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." Daniel has seen the same thing that John has seen. He saw the things of the end time, but God told him, put the seal on it, on the scroll, because nobody has to know until the time of the end. And today, or the last 2 weeks and next week, we will hear about the seven seals that have been opened. So Daniel has put the seal. Now the seal is coming off because we are in end time. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. How true it is of today. You don't even have to go anywhere. You just open the mobile phone and you have the computer, the information, and you can increase and increase with knowledge. Praise the Lord. Now the young generation, they cannot imagine a time without smartphone. They cannot imagine it. Because when excuse me, when I was young, we didn't have anything like that. We had a black telephone which was installed on the wall. You couldn't even remove it. So when you had when you wanted to make a telephone call, you had to dial, going round and round, and you had to stand because it was installed on the wall and you could not sit down. So not everybody had a phone. My parents, when they were young, they even had the telephone where you had to call the operator and tell him, please connect me to such and such, such a number. And they had to wait for the operator to get through to that person. So not everybody had a phone. So sometimes it's only one person in the community who had a telephone, maybe your neighbor, maybe further away. And when you had to make a telephone call, you had to go to them and ask, please, can I use your telephone? I have to make a call. So if you had to call, yeah. So nobody could imagine a smartphone. I remember I was already over 30 when I saw in a magazine a computer about the size of a hand. I thought, wow, that is tremendous. a new invention. And I saw that only in the magazine. I never saw it anywhere else. And we could not imagine what is a phone. We could not describe a smartphone. We didn't know it could ever exist. So now if you go back 2,000 years, when John wrote the book of Revelation, he was put on the spot. So was Isaiah. Isaiah lived 2,500 years ago. And he saw aeroplanes, and he doesn't know what is an aeroplane. So he said, who are those coming on the clouds? They couldn't describe. And John also, he could not describe. He saw things, he didn't know what they are. He saw atomic bombs, he saw bombs falling on the earth. What is that? It's stars coming down. He didn't know. Or a smartphone, computer, he didn't know what it is. So he had to describe something that was totally unknown to him. And therefore you need the Holy Spirit to understand what he wrote. Some parts of Revelation are easy to understand. Some parts are more difficult. We have been studying chapter 5 and 6, where six of the seals were opened. The terrible judgment of God is already falling on the earth. More judgments are going to come. In chapter 7, we have an interlude, because the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8, just before the trumpet judgments. So the continuation is temporarily interrupted. We are reading Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads."
Amen.
Amen.
So four angels at the four corners of the world. Now we know the world is round. There are no corners. But it talks about the four different directions: south, north, east, and west. They are responsible for the judgments of God. When the winds are blowing from all directions, massive storms, great destruction is happening. They had just in Germany the other day, yesterday I think it was, big storms where all the winds were coming and they had floods and everything was destroyed. So imagine when four angels pour out the judgment at once, how much trouble there will be. Now, temporarily, they have instructed, they are instructed not to move, not to continue with their judgments. Because God is in control and God is merciful. They were not permitted to destroy anything on earth until the chosen people had been sealed. 144,000 were sealed. Praise God. 144,000 were sealed. There are Jews who have been saved during the time of tribulation. In chapter 7, it doesn't talk more about them. But certainly, no judgment can come until them, upon them until no judgment can come upon the earth until they are sealed. They are faithful remnant and will not be will be protected throughout tribulation. They are protected from the direct effects of God's judgment that is poured up upon the earth. That is why the winds were held back, until they are sealed, because God wanted to protect them. Judgments were not to proceed until they were protected. They are protected throughout the great tribulation. Their mission is world evangelism. They had to go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell people about the salvation of God. They are sent to Jews and they are sent to Gentiles to call them to God. And the seal what they received is clearly different from the mark of the beast. The seal shows they are God's people. 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel except Dan and Ephraim. Let us read Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 to 8. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. So why is Dan and Ephraim missing? Why is Joseph mentioned here? Because Joseph never had a tribe. When Jacob saw Manasseh and Ephraim, he said, they are my sons. They are to be numbered amongst my sons. So Joseph was no more, but it was Manasseh and Ephraim. Now in Judges chapter 17 verse 6, it says, in those days Israel had no king, everyone did as he saw fit. Isn't that a picture of what we have today? Now, people think they can do what they want, and even in the church, they think they can do what they want. So there are two stories in Judges, chapter 17 to verse 21. Can I have the next picture? Yeah. So in Judges 17 to 21, how these two stories have to do with the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. Dan sinned because God had allotted land to them and they thought this is unacceptable. So they went to a different place, what they thought was better. As they passed through Ephraim, they stole an idol or idols from a house. They put a Levite in place of their, as a priest in their false temple in a new territory. So as a result, Dan became the first tribe of Israel to embrace idol worship. The tribe of Ephraim, the source where the idol was, assumed control over the land that was originally allotted to Dan. They took it and they added the, they aided and helped the Danites in bringing idolatry into the land of Israel. So these sins gave God the right to exclude them from the privilege of preparing the people for the return of the Messiah, or for the coming of the Messiah. Since the tribe of Manasseh is already included in the list of Revelation 7, then we know that Joseph cannot represent Manasseh and Ephraim, because Manasseh is already mentioned. Instead, Joseph will represent the two tribes, Dan and Ephraim, the tribes historically liked to their conspiracy to include rebellion and idolatry into Israel. So they were excluded from the list of names, with the name of Joseph standing in their name, in their place. So by this, it allowed the Lord to still have the 12 tribes. We could say Dan and Ephraim were hidden in Joseph. Therefore, the 12,000 men of the tribe of Joseph will actually be Danites and Ephraimites. These 144,000 had an evangelistic role to preach the gospel everywhere. They were sealed. They were sealed by God. No sickness, no attack, no evil could affect them. The seal means they are bound, becoming bond servants to God. Those who have the mark of the beast become bond servants of Satan. So these 144,000 are totally and wholly, completely dedicated to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the whole tribulation, when they lived, they were protected. They are virgins. They never got married. At the days of the end, there will be horror upon horror in this world, trouble upon trouble. The spiritual commitment is needed to stand for Christ. They turn, those who accept Christ, they turn into a special body of believers who vow and commit their lives and their life to never deny the name of Jesus, no matter what happens. They are to encourage other believers who are severely attacked and persecuted and ill-treated by the Antichrist. They are called servants of God. They are believers who give themselves to serve God while ungodliness is and evil are raging throughout the world. We find them again in chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Then I looked, and there before me was a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men, offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless." Here we see the 144,000. They were raptured. They are now in heaven. Because of this text is talking about them being in heaven. They are on the Mount Zion, the mountain of God, and that is in heaven. They were sealed with the name of Jesus Christ and the name of the Father. They served in the heavenly temple of God and never left the side of Christ. Then we read of Revelation 7, verse 9 to 17. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, people, nation, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm tree branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Amen. Verse 13, it says, "Now then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen.
Amen.
We see here the people in white clothes. So, during the Great Tribulation, there are people who turn to Christ, and millions of people who turn to Christ. There will be terrible sorrows, woes, destruction, devastation, and many will turn to Christ. Many will understand what is happening. They understand because maybe they have heard the word before. Whenever there was a persecution of Christians in history, you can find that every time when there was persecution, lots of people turned to Christ. Sometimes whole revivals happened when when people were persecuted. And the greatest revival in history of the world will take place during the tribulation that is going to come. Millions of people stood before the throne, so many that you couldn't count them. From every tribe, from every people, from every language. Every color was present. Every color was present. White and black and brown, red and yellow. Everybody was there. These are people who are saved during the time of the tribulation. Some say they included all the people, include all the Christians, except including us. But that is not what the Bible says. Because verse 14, it says, they are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have made their robes white in the blood of Jesus. That is not us. We have been raptured before the tribulation. You understand? We have been raptured before the tribulation. So those who come through the tribulation are the ones who stand before the throne. These are things, saints, they have been on the third flight. Remember, the first rapture or the first flight is when the church is taken up to meet Jesus in the air. The second rapture is 144,000. They were raptured to heaven. And the third rapture is these saints that have been persecuted in tribulation, they have gone up. Because when we are seeing here what John saw, they are in heaven. Praise God. So God never turns anyone away who wants to give his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this multitude stands before the throne of God and before the Lamb. They are near to God and near to Christ. They are clothed in white robes. They have been made pure and made free from all the blemishes of sin and corruption. They have been made perfect. White robes are a sign of the righteousness through Christ. The sign of victory over sin, death, and judgment through Christ. So, the white robes have big meaning. A sign of being heavenly creature. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They hold palm trees in their hands. Palm trees or palms are symbols of celebration, of triumph, of victory, of deliverance and joy, and sin, evil, death, and corruption of the world. So, victory over all the evil of this world. The multitude before God celebrated the triumph over terrible tribulation, over sin, over the evil death, evil and death, and the corruption of the world. They are shouting praises, praises to God for their salvation. That will be a glorious sight. All standing around the throne. The outer circle are the angels. They surround and encircle the temple. Next come the 24 elders. Then come the four living creatures. And finally, there's a numberless multitude of believers who stand face to face with the throne of God and the Lamb. They sing praises to God for their great salvation. When they do, the rest of the heavenly beings fall down on their faces and worship God. They praise God for his blessings. They praise God for his glory. They praise God for his wisdom. They praise God for his for everything he is. And they offer thanksgiving unto God. They praise God for his honor. They praise God for his power. They praise God for his might and for his strength. The angel asked John about the multitude. Who are they? Where did they come from? They are believers coming out of great tribulation. Praise the Lord. Lots of believers that no man can count. The devastation and destruction taking place will cause millions of people to turn to Christ. They are in heaven now, not on earth. The picture we see is in heaven. What we see on the picture here is on earth, but they are in heaven. That means the Antichrist has killed them. He has launched an all-out attack against Christ, attempting to wind up Christianity from the face of the earth. Daniel prophesied about this terrible time of trouble. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. You know, Daniel, he lived about 500 years before Christ. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Jesus has foretold the great tribulation that was coming on earth. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Paul described the attacks of the Antichrist against Christians in the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So John says that the Antichrist will make war against the saints. It says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, he was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. The Antichrist's force will force people to give up all kinds of worship except him. A believer will have to deny Jesus Christ or he will die. So millions of true believers will refuse. They are those who have washed their robes and are white in the blood of the Lamb. The clothing of all the heavenly beings is colored white. White. White stands for purity. White stands for perfection. It stands for righteousness. They will never hunger and thirst again as they did during the tribulation. Imagine that only if you had the mark of the beast you could buy food. So they were hungry, they were thirsty. But now, no more. The sun will not scorch them anymore, nor the cold. The one who sits upon the throne spreads his tent over them. And the Lamb will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Their weeping in times of trouble will be over. Imagine how much they were persecuted, how many tears that flowed. What does that all mean to us? We won't be here on earth when this happens. We're not here anymore. But we must make every effort to be in the first flight. Because we don't want to experience all that terrible judgment of God. So commit yourself completely to the Lord Almighty. Commit yourself. Truly great tribulation is coming. Woe on those who are on the earth. Truly millions will give their lives to Christ. The greatest revival within a very brief time. But they will be persecuted and they will be killed. Do your best to be here, not to be here at that time. Woe. Warn those around you about the coming judgment. Revelation is a book of warning. It shows us what is happening and it warns us that we don't have to go through that. So let us be serious about it. And it's going to come very soon. Very soon. Commit yourselves to God and live for Him. Commit yourselves to God and live for Him. Don't love the world. The world will pass away. Put your love in Christ and God. Preach the gospel wherever you go. Tell the people about salvation. Tell the people of the hope that we have and warn them of the coming judgment. May God bless you. Amen.